We kind of recognize this gospel passage because there are so many others like it in the gospels and their conversion stories. And so this blind man, and the blindness symbolizes his lostness, his abandonment by the community, because in those days and in that religion, if you had a serious ailment like that, it must be because you sinned or your parents sinned, and so therefore you were untouchable. You were kind of excluded from the community and certainly couldn't enter into the temple. And so he's sitting by the roadside. And of course, sitting or lying down is also symbolic of his lostness, his death, you might say, death to the community, death to real life. And so he calls out to Jesus, "Son of David, have pity on me." And so let's back up a minute here. Over the past 4 or 5 weeks, we've been reading from pretty much solid, passage upon passage in the Gospel of Mark. And we have three predictions of Jesus' passion, of his willingness to go down, to lie down in death for our salvation. And of course, we get the reaction of his disciples: "No, we won't let that happen to you. Get behind me, Satan." Jesus takes each of these occasions to tell them about how real life comes through death, that the only way to gain your life is to lose your life, and the disciples just don't seem to get it. And last week we had James and John saying, "We want you to do something for us." And he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Well, we want to sit at your right and your left when you come into your kingdom." And so that Jesus takes that occasion to tell them and the other disciples, "You just don't seem to understand. It's through dying that you rise." And Jesus never promised us that we wouldn't die. He promised that we would rise from death, and that's more important. But we all struggle to get that. So now we have this gospel story, and this man gets it. He's the blind one in the story, but he's the only one who sees. He's the only one who understands that Jesus is the Son of David. That's a messianic term. So he recognizes who Jesus really is. And at the same time, he recognizes who he himself is, that he's lost, that he's abandoned by the community, that he's a beggar, and he's begging for mercy from the Son of David. Now, notice that in all three readings, the word "son" comes up. In the prophet Jeremiah, he's predicting the return from exile, and he's predicting that that's going to be like a new exodus. They were down, lost, abandoned in slavery in Egypt, and God rescued them and brought them into their own land of Israel and declared them sons and daughters. And so now Jeremiah is saying there's going to be a new exodus, and it's going to be even greater than the first one. And God is going to make a level, smooth highway so that nobody would stumble, not even the blind and the lame would stumble on this smooth roadway on the way back to Israel, because he says, "Israel is my son, Ephraim is my firstborn." So God is father to Israel with that love, that intimate compassion and mercy that a father has for his children. And now this blind man calls Jesus Son of David, which is to say Son of God. So in this conversion story, the blind man is sitting, and when Jesus calls him, and conversion is always a response to a call from God. We don't initiate the relationship with God. God always initiates the relationship, but we respond. And this man's response is he throws off his cloak and leaps up. Okay, it's a kind of a baptismal image. In the early church, when people were baptized, they took off their clothes and went naked into the font. It was a pretty private ceremony. And those old clothes were done away with. They were discarded, because when you die, you don't need those clothes anymore. And so this man throwing off his cloak is symbolic of baptism. And then on the other side of the font, you got new clothes, which was the baptismal garment. And you got a new name, which is your baptismal name or your Christian name. Because the old person had died on the other side of the font, and now a new person has risen from the dead. You go through a symbolic death in the drowning of baptism, and then you resurrect with Christ. So it's an immersion into Christ's paschal mystery, his death and resurrection. So this man throws off his cloak, and then he leaps up. And the word for his leaping up is the same Greek word as for Jesus' resurrection at the end of the gospel. So in other words, this is a resurrection story. It's a conversion story. Well, these stories, they're kind of emblematic of the whole human condition, of the whole human race, and certainly of you and me. How do we fit into that larger story? Whether you're in Egypt, whether you're in Babylon, whether you're blind and lame, we're all in that human condition that because of sin is lost and abandoned, and there's no hope. The only hope that rises is God's mercy. The only hope that we can find is the compassion of a loving Father who, through Jesus, has called us daughters and sons. One of the parts of the good news that Jesus brings is that God understands us as his beloved children, not slaves, not hired workers, members of the household, heirs of the kingdom. And that's what gives us hope. But we have to be converted to that over and over again, because we live in a world that's filled with sin, filled with hopelessness, filled with divisions and animosities and grudges between nations and between individuals and within families. You know, we humans are in many ways in a lost condition. So we come here week after week to renew our baptism. We sign ourselves in that font every time we come in here. But Eucharist is the ongoing completion of the sacraments of initiation. And we do it every week, and some of us every day, because baptism isn't just one event and then it's done. The conversion process has to be going on in us all the time. Now, every parish in the world has an RCIA program where we bring new converts into the faith. And those of us who work on those teams, it's always enlightening and enriching for us to experience and to accompany people who are on that conversion journey. But one of the things we recognize, and one of the reasons we do these various rites in the RCIA at Mass, is because when you see those people going through certain rituals, you realize, oh, that's me too. I'm in conversion. I'm not there yet. It's an ongoing reality. And so when they go through the scrutinies, for example, where they name and let go of their demons that control them, we're sitting there thinking, oh, that's me too. I have my demons that I have to constantly be putting behind me, that I have to constantly be begging for God's mercy and direction so that I can be freed from the things that control me. But rather than put too negative a picture on this, the end of the story is a positive one. It ends in hope. Because in the same way that this blind man leaped up, was converted, and then followed Jesus down the way. And I find that interesting, the end of the story. He followed Jesus on the way. One of the early names for the Christians was those who follow the way. And that's the way of the cross and resurrection. And so week after week, we immerse ourselves in an altar that recalls death, the death of Jesus. But it also recalls his resurrection, and And the meal of the kingdom in advance of that future realized kingdom is already eaten and drunk here today. It ends in hope. It ends in resurrection. It doesn't end in death. Death is just the means to get there. It's just the passageway. And we need to be hearing that story over and over again. And we need to be eating and drinking of that truth over and over again so that we, unlike the rest of the world, don't lose hope.